ब्रज बिहारी गोपी जन बालवागी बन गारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन बालवागी बन गारी सूरनंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोरनंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यमुना तेरा मन चाहे जमुना तेरा मन चाहे मन जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन बालवागी बन गारी यशोरनंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यमुना तेरा वन चरे जय प्रभुपद जय प्रभुपद जय प्रभुपद जय प्रभुपद जय जय प्रभुपा 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 जय प्रभुपा जय नित्य लील प्रविष्ट अष्ट तर सत श्री श्रीमन इज डिवाइन ग्रेस A.C. भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी शिल प्रभुपाद की जय प्रेम से कहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नितानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासुदेव गौर भक्त वृंद की जय श्री श्री राधा श्याम सुंदर गोपाल गोपीनाथ श्याम कुंद राधा कुंद गिरि गोपनाथ की जय ग्रंथ राज श्रीमद भगवताम की जय गौर भेमनंदी ऑल ग्लोरी टू द असमदोचिस ऑल ग्लोरी टू द असमदोचिस ऑल ग्लोरी टू द असमदोचिस ऑल ग्लोरी टू द लोटस फीट ऑफ श्री श्री गुरु गौरांग Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam Third canto, first chapter, verses 14 and 15. I'm going to do them together. Ityuchyavam satrasuryodha. Excuse me. Ityuchyavam satrasuryodha nena. Pravidha kopash puritadarena. Asatkrita satspruhani hasila Shatta shakarna nujasu balena Taena matro pajuho vajimam Dasya sutam yad balanai vapushta Tasmin pati pa parakritya asti Nirvasyatam Ashu Purat Shvasana. Ichuchivam Chatra Suryodhanena. I didn't mean to make this difficult on you. Sorry, Radhikesh. Pravidha Kopas Purita Darena. Ashat Krita Sat Spurhani Hashila. Shatta Shakarna Nujaso Balena. Kaina Matro Pajuha Vajimam. Dasya Sutam Yad Balanaiva Pushta. Tasmin Pratipa Parakritya Ashti. Nirvasyatam Ashu Purachvasana. Must have been interesting to listen to Raghunath Bhatta Goswami chanting, Raghunath Das Goswami chanting the different tunes of Bhagavatam. That was his specialty. Certainly not like this, so please chant. Whoever out there is like Raghunath Das Goswami. I didn't mean to intimidate anybody, come on. Ityuchavam statra suryodhanena. Pravidha kopas purita tranena. Satkrita satspriyani hasiha. Satkrita satspriyani hasiha. Satkrita Let's hope the rest of the class goes smoother than that. It's interesting, right before I sat down, how I went over to Nagaraj, I said, so the tune is, da 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 da. He said, yeah, that's good. And I sat down and my brain just went, so forgive me, please. Let's see how we move on from here. Iti, thus, Uchavan, while speaking, tatra, there. Suryodhanena, by Duryodhana, Pravidha, swollen with, Kopa, anger, Spurita, flapping, Adharena, lips, Asatkrita, insulted, Sat, respectable. Priyaniya Shila, desirable qualities. Chata, Vidura, Sa, with. Karna, Karna, Anuja, younger brothers. Sobalena, with Sakuni. Ka, who? Enam, this. Atra. Here. Upajuhava. Called for. Jimam. Crooked. Dasya. Of a kept mistress. Sutam. Son. Yet. Whose. Balina. By whose sustenance. Eva, certainly. Pushta, grown up. Tasmin, unto him.
Pratipa.
Enmity.
Parakritya.
Enemies' interest.
Aste.
Situated.
Nirvasatyam.
Get him out.
Asu.
Immediately.
Purat.
From the palace.
Svashana.
Let him breathe only.
Translations.
While speaking thus, Vidura, whose personal character was esteemed by respectable persons, was insulted by Duryodhana, who was swollen with anger and whose lips were trembling. Duryodhana was in the company with Karna, his younger brothers, and his maternal uncle Sukuni. Who asked him to come here, the son of a kept mistress? He is so crooked that he spies in the interest of the enemy against those on whose support he has grown up. Toss him out of the palace immediately and leave him with only his breath. Purports by Srila Prabhupada. It is said that giving good counsel to a foolish person causes the fool to become angry, just as feeding milk to a snake only increases its venomous poison. Saint Vidura was so honorable that his character was looked up to by all respectable persons. But Duryodhana was so foolish that he dared to insult Vidura. This was due to his bad association with Sukuni, his maternal uncle, as well as his friend Karna, who always encouraged Duryodhana in his nefarious acts. When getting married, the Kshatriya kings would take on several other youthful girls along with the married princes. These girl attendants in the king were known as dasis, or attendant mistresses. By intimate association with the king, the dasis would get sons. Such sons were called dasiputras. They had no claim to a royal position, but they would get maintenance and other facilities just like princesses. Vidura was the son of such a dasi, and he was thus not counted amongst the Kshatriyas. King Dhritarashtra was very affectionate toward his younger dasiputra brother Vidura, and Vidura was a great friend and philosophical advisor to Dhritarashtra. Duryodhana knew very well that Vidura was a great soul and a well-wisher, but unfortunately he used strong words to hurt his innocent uncle. Duryodhana not only attacked Vidura's birth, but also called him an infidel because he seemed to support the cause of Yudhishthira, whom Duryodhana considered his enemy. He desired that Vidura be put out of the palace and deprived of all of his possessions. If possible, he would have liked him to be caned until he was left with nothing but his breath. He charged that Vidura was a spy of the Pandavas because he advised King Dhritarashtra in their favor. Such is the situation of palace life and the intricacies of diplomacy that even a faultless person like Vidura could be charged with something abominable and punished. Vidura was struck with wonder at such unexpected behavior from his nephew Duryodhana, and before anything actually happened, he decided to leave the palace for good. Om Agnanatamarandasya Jananjana Shalakaya Chaksur unmelidam yirtasman sigurve maha Mukam karoti vachanam pangumlam jayati agrim Yakripa tamaham bande shri gurum dinatarino Vancha kapatiribhyascha kripa sindhu vaheva cha Patitanam pavanevyo vaishnavevyo namo maha Jayasi Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nitananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vasari Gaura Bhakti Vinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. My only constant companion, my only friend, my guru, my wealth, that which has delivered me, my great fortune and the source of my good luck, the form through which I taste pleasure, my obeisances unto you, O Srimad Bhagavatam. I offer my respectful obeisances to you, O Srimad Bhagavatam. By your recitation, one attains transcendental bliss, because your syllables shower pure love of God. You are to be served by everyone, always, for you are an incarnation of Lord Krishna. It's my humble opinion that these two particular verses, just at the beginning of this third canto, as we're setting the stage for this whole pastime with Madura, these two verses are very rich with instructions for the daily life of devotees. I mean, actually, of course, every verse in the Bhagavatam is filled with deep instruction. When we realize that, then we're able to fully appreciate the prayers that are mentioned just above, here just previously by Sanatana Goswami to the Bhagavatam. The great devotees, they make the Bhagavatam their daily life. In our world, we have many different types of literatures, different types of sound vibrations, different types of reading that can fill our consciousness. And as the technological aspect of Kali Yuga advances more and more, it becomes easier and easier to become distracted and filled with these other sound vibrations. You know, previously, I remember growing up, my father would listen to the radio every morning while he was having his breakfast. He would come into the kitchen, sit down with his breakfast, have the radio on, and listen to what was going on. The opportunity provided at that time was one of the few opportunities. Maybe your car had a radio, maybe it didn't. Certainly your phone didn't have everything in the entire universe. Oh wait, you didn't have a phone. So, you know, in that circumstance, the opportunities to be distracted were considerably less. Nowadays, simply with the touch of a button, as I say, the entire universe is in this little piece of plastic here. Plastic and metal and glass. I mean, fortunately, it's got all of Srila Prabhupada's books and all of Srila Prabhupada's lectures there. But there's also every other type of distraction we could desire. So for those personalities who have dedicated themselves to the path of devotional service, the Bhagavatam is indeed their only friend, their guru, their wealth, their source of good luck, their source of fortune, and that which delivers them. This is why they embrace the Bhagavatam. This is why Prabhupada encouraged that the Bhagavatam should be recited every day. This is why that we attend the Bhagavatam class. The function of getting up in the morning and listening to the Bhagavatam class is an austerity. It's an austerity we embrace because it elevates our consciousness. Now, if after hearing the Bhagavatam, we don't feel our consciousness has been elevated, it's no fault of the Bhagavatam. Fault lies in ourselves. So we have to look at it like that. So this type of understanding of the Bhagavatam will make our existence in this temporary world tolerable and maybe even one day blissful. So, why are these two verses so instructive? These two verses contain what to and what not to do for a devotee if we're serious about advancing in the devotional process. Now, you know, sometimes we see that the six-month bhakta is more enthusiastic and serious than the 60-year devotee. Sometimes this happens. But if we're serious about the devotional process, there are certain elements of the Bhagavatam that are very helpful to us. One of the key qualifications for a devotee is to be respectful and humble to all living entities, to the point that Mahaprabhu made this one of the 8 instructions he shared with us. Every devotee can quote this verse, every devotee knows this verse, and hopefully every devotee strives to implement this verse in their life. So, especially though, we should be respectful to our seniors and to other devotees. I have a friend, a junior disciple that I've been encouraging for many years, and just recently received second initiation and wrote to me and said, only by the grace of the seniors and Guru and Gurunga have I been able to get this opportunity. So I wrote back, I said, yes, this is the position for every devotee. Not just newer, second, third, fourth generation devotees. No, every devotee is where they are by the blessings of the seniors that have come before them, by the blessings of the seniors that are there in their community, by the blessings of the seniors that they embrace in their daily life. This is the necessity of association with the Vaishnavas. Of course, Haridas Thakur has given us this very wonderful understanding of how to associate. There are those personalities that we take association from and take direction from, surrender ourselves to. There are those personalities who are our equals, that we share our mind in confidence and accept their revelations to us in confidence. There are those personalities who are our juniors that we instruct and guide in the process. And then there's those personalities that we respect from a distance. Interesting combination there. Still respect is there, but it's from a slight distance. We may not mix intimately with them. So one of the key factors in developing this type of mentality, this thought process, is good association. As Prabhupada indicates, that if one associates with drunkards, then one naturally becomes a drunkard. If one associates with scholars, one becomes a scholar, and so on and so on. So this first verse here today clearly points out who Duryodhana was associating with. Karna, his younger and equally envious, we can say, brothers, and his rascal uncle Shakuni. Now Karna himself is a very complicated personality. He has many, many good qualities, qualities of charity, qualities of austerity, quality of compassion for others. Yet, he had very harsh feelings toward many very wonderful devotees. This is, of course, due to his immense attachment to the bodily concept of life. He actually had many grudges about his birth. He had many grudges about the Svayambhara ceremony of Draupadi. He had many grudges against not receiving the respect and honor he felt he deserved. I mean, you could say he was carrying a lot of baggage around, as we would use the term nowadays. And these ideas, these types of thoughts, they fostered a very deep hatred for the Pandavas and everything that the Pandavas represented. And therefore, he took strong shelter of Duryodhana, who gave him all facility and was very favorable to him. Now, it mentions here in the actual verse, I'm sorry, in the purport here, that he always encouraged Duryodhana in his nefarious actions towards the Pandavas. He may not have had the direct facility to impact the Pandavas in a way that he would have liked to, but he could encourage Duryodhana, yeah, do that. You know, there's always that guy in the group, right? You know, encourage you to do something stupid against your best will. You get five or six guys together, there's going to be a knucklehead in the crew, right? And he's going to encourage, that's a great idea, let's do that. Anytime you get a bunch of guys together and one of them claims out, oh, that's a great idea, let's do that, you know all chaos is about to break loose. It's not a great idea. Don't do it. So Karna, in this sense, this is his relationship with Duryodhana. Oh, yeah, do that. Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, great, yeah, go ahead. So he's encouraging him like that. So not such good association. And then, of course, the younger brothers. The younger brothers follow the mood of the elder brother. The younger brothers are on that side of the fence, so to speak. And then there's Shakuni. Can anybody say anything nice about Shakuni? I mean, you know, he's just a cheater and a rascal through and through. Boom, finished. Now, there are two things in this verse that are indicative of the state of mind of Duryodhana. Swollen with anger and trembling lips. As the Sanskrit goes, and I love this here, spurita adarena, flapping lips. I mean, that can describe many conversations that we have with certain people, but At any rate, these two symptoms are very indicative of the state of the mind of a person. In our modern therapy terminology, it would be said that the individual is seething with rage and hate. Now, of course, the interesting thing about hate and rage is that they blind us to who is our real friend and who is our real enemy. In that state of feeling that type of, you know, anger, that type of animosity, it can cause us to make very harsh, rash, and bad decisions. When one becomes overwhelmed with motive passion, when one becomes overwhelmed with the motive ignorance, and then that motive passion and ignorance is tinted by hatred and rage, not only do they mentally change, but physically their appearance change. You know, it's often said after you might have some exchange with somebody that was just in this horrible state of anger that I didn't even recognize them. I didn't know who that person was. So not only do the actions and words bring about that presence of that, but the physical appearance, that rage causes changes in the bodily appearance. So in this way, we have to be very cautious about allowing ourselves to come in contact with these modes of passion and ignorance, which are driven, which facilitate, which are coupled with this anger and rage and hatred. These types of mentality do not do anything to benefit us spiritually or materially. They don't do anything to help with our consciousness. Now, then we can look at where is the deposit of all this anger and rage going. When someone has that built up in them, they want to vent it. Sometimes somebody will do like that, you know, have all that kind of, oh, I'm sorry, I just had to vent. Well, a person that says like that generally is a bit detached from that mood. We do not see any detachment from that mood in the personality of Duryodhana here. So he manifests that, he dumps that, he throws that at Vidura. Now, Vidura is not only esteemed due to his own faultless character, but, as the verse indicates, he was respected by those who themselves were respected. So, if an individual is a respected individual and they're offering respect to someone else, you can pretty much understand that, you know, this is a person worthy of service, worthy of humility towards. We don't see that in Duryodhana at all. Instead, he transgresses the action of other respectable personalities and, to be frank, he transgresses what's in his own benefit. This is his method, his process for releasing the anger that he has built up. And not just built up from, you know, one or two exchanges. This is built up over his life. Seeing Vidura's presence and thinking Vidura, you know, all of these things that are going to come out in this next verse, this has been in his heart for some time. He has cultivated these. In the process of gardening, you know, it takes quite a bit, but it requires the initial planting of the seed. A friend of mine gave me some. I happen to love fried Corella. Nicely fried in ghee with a little salt on, and I can eat piles of it. After it's offered to the Lord, of course. Giri Raj likes it too. At any rate, so a friend of mine gave me some seeds, and I finally got around to planting them. And it takes a while. I may have been too late in the season. But you have to keep watering those seeds. And by watering those seeds, eventually a little creeper comes up. And then when that creeper comes up, it begins to grow, but you're still not getting any Corella. You have to wait till it gets to the vine, and then the flower comes, then it matures, then it turns to veg, and so on and so on. So it takes some time. So this mood, this anger, of Duryodhana presented in these two verses didn't happen overnight. He has meticulously cultivated this attitude his entire life. He's watered it. He's attended to it. And as a result, it manifests in these great offenses. Now, in the end of this first purport, Prabhupada sums up, as Prabhupada so eloquently does so many times, he sums up the misguided mentality of Duryodhana. Due to bad association, he foolishly dares to insult Vidura, a great devotee and senior family member. This is directly the result of bad association and the bad attitude it fosters. It is so important how we associate with devotees. In the situation, a circumstance like this type of a pastime, I'm reminded of Jayananda. Jayananda was wonderful to associate with, but there were two things that would cause him to immediately turn and leave. One, if he started praising him, he wanted nothing to do with it. I had personal experience on this two different occasions. He would just turn and leave. And secondly, if he began to criticize devotees, he would have nothing to do with it. Just turn around and walk away. The opposite of that is to listen to such criticism of devotees, to associate with those persons that are enthusiastic to criticize devotees, and to contribute to that process. The younger brothers, Sakuni, they're all in that camp. Karna, they're encouraging this criticism Duryodhana has of the Pandavas. Not only encouraging it, they're full members. They've bought into the whole process. As we say, they're drinking the Kool-Aid. So this bad association further cements the misguided mentality of Duryodhana and brings about so many activities that are there. Now, in the second verse, one of the first Sanskrit words in it is uchavan, words spoken by Duryodhana. When I spoke last week in the Bhagavatam, we found the word Hari Lila Amrita Vacha. Hari Lila Amrita Vacha. How one's word should be drinking the nectar of Krishna Katha. This is so vastly different than the uchavan, or words that we're going to hear from Duryodhana. For one aspiring to advance in the spiritual path, they want to speak words that are uplifting. Very first verse I ever learned from the Bhagavad Gita, one should speak truthfully and avoid speech that offends. That this is the proper way. To utilize one's speaking ability. But here, uchavan refers to the words that Duryodhana is about to speak, and these are not uplifting words. These are not very nice words. Just to recap what he says. And I'm going to add a little dramatic flair to how they probably would have been said. Who asked him to come here? This son of a kept mistress. He is so crooked that he spies in the interest of the enemy against those upon whose support he has grown up. Toss him out of the palace immediately and leave him only with his breath. I mean, we can imagine that when Duryodhana was saying these words, it wasn't just like, oh, who's this guy? I mean, there's some slapping lips, trembling with anger, swollen with, so naturally there was some great aggression in the way he spoke these words. That added to their harshness. How words come out are just as important as what the words are. So this verse in the Bhagavatam, we can hear in our mind how this was spoken, what animosity was there. Now, it's hard to imagine what type of actions would validate such harsh words. This is Vidura we're speaking about. Vidura's faults. To speak in such a manner against him is just unimaginable. Now, Vidura's position as the Dasiputra, that's been covered sufficiently over the last few verses, as well as his humility in this regards. Vidura was not one to, you know, push himself forward. But the insult thrown at him as the son of a kept mistress, or polite words for what we would call nowadays a bastard son, this was very hurting. You know, to be an advanced devotee doesn't mean you have no feelings. One becomes hurt by such things that are said. The humility that Vidura has in this, actually Vidura has two courses of action in response to this. One is to challenge it. You know, you're my nephew. You're just a junior. What do you know? You're still wet behind the... I mean, you could have gone on like this. Or, as this verse indicates, he simply left the palace before things got out of hand. This is the higher level of consciousness. This is the more mature path to take. I can see where this is going. Okay, I'm out of here. I don't want any part of this. This is his humility. Now, this idea of a son of a kept mistress, this is very common in royal assemblies, as Prabhupada points out here, not just in the Vedic times, but all throughout history and all throughout all the different cultures. We see the kings with all of their consorts and concubines and dasis and all these different things. Whatever culture, whatever word you want to use, it's a very common occurrence. In this particular case, though, Vidura was highly qualified beyond just this mundane definition of his character. A very advanced devotee. And as we'll see in the coming verses, his response further shows that mood of detachment and disinterest. And as a result of that, it indicates his own internal level of advancement. He's not striving to, oh, you know, my brothers, they got the throne, you know, I got to figure some way in there. A lot of times you have this in these type of intrigues, you know, but this wasn't Vidura's position at all. He was truly a sadhu. Now, it's interesting to note how Prabhupada mentions in the purport the loving sibling relationship that existed between Dhritarashtra and Vidura. Dhritarashtra is an interesting character also. He understood, Prabhupada says plainly, he knew Krishna was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He knew Krishna and the Pandavas were right. But he was just too attached to his son to do the right thing. Prabhupada mentions that in one lecture. But his relationship with Vidura was on the positive side. He looked to him with great affection. He trusted him. Now, for a king to trust someone, this takes a lot, because in the palace, in the royal assemblies, there's constant intrigue. Somebody's trying to get this way, that way, manipulate this, that, and the other. You know, politics are like that. So to have trust in someone, and he trusted him as an advisor, but more than that, he trusted him as a friend. So Dhritarashtra sees Vidura with affection, with trust, and friendship. So, you know, how it is that he sits there and watches this happen, Prabhupada said it, because he was too attached to his son. He couldn't correct his son. He couldn't punish his son. He couldn't chastise his son. Whatever his son did, all right, that's okay. And we can only imagine how this type of attitude and mood towards Vidura by Dhritarashtra must have stung Duryodhana on a daily basis. As I mentioned, his manifestation of this anger and rage and hatred didn't just happen overnight. He's been observing this his entire life. How kind his father is to Vidura, how much facility Vidura is given. And this just grates Duryodhana the wrong way. And it builds up and builds up. And then finally, he gets this opportunity to let it out. The amazing thing is, the Prabhupada mentions here, that both Dhritarashtra and Duryodhana, they knew and understood what was right. Duryodhana understood what a great, he knew, I'm not going to say he understood, he knew what a great devotee Vidura was, and how much of a well-wisher he was to the entire family. But all of that was completely overshadowed by his hatred, his rage, and his anger, which are driven completely by the bodily concept of life. And so Duryodhana's words, they're very well placed for what he's trying to achieve. They're expertly chosen, and they're meant to cause the greatest pain and insult. Prabhupada speaks frankly about this in the purport. Unfortunately, Duryodhana used strong words to hurt his innocent uncle. Duryodhana not only attacked Vidura's birth, but also called him an infidel because he supported the cause of Yudhishthira, who was Duryodhana's enemy, and he desired that Vidura should be thrown out of the palace, deprived of all his possessions, and if possible, he would have liked him to be caned until he was left with nothing but his breath. He charged that Vidura was a spy of the Pandavas because he advised King Dhritarashtra in their favor. This is an essential component in the royal assembly, to have an advisor that will tell it to you like it is. The last thing a leader wants is to be surrounded by yes men. Yes, boss. Whatever you say, boss. Absolutely. Best idea I've ever heard. All right, let's do it. You need to have at least one person that will be honest with you. Have you lost your mind? You know, sometimes a leader will present some kind of an idea, and everybody will just kind of be quiet, maybe not say anything, but there's that one person that will, whoa, wait a minute. And this is the kind of association that we need. Someone to challenge what may or may not be right. And then the leader is required, the king, the, you know, whatever manager, is required to present the evidence in support of why they think that. So it causes them to be very thorough in their judgments. This is, you know, being done here by Duryodhana, but completely on the wrong side of the coin. And part of the reasoning for this is because Vidura was always advising Dhritarashtra of what the correct thing to do. As mentioned, Prabhupada says Dhritarashtra knew Krishna was the personality of Godhead. He knew the Pandavas were his devotees. He knew his son was wrong, but he just didn't have it in him to do anything about it. So this is where Vidura would step in. My dear brother, this is not right. What you should be doing is this. You should, you know, da, 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 da. And here again, this very, very much angered Duryodhana. Now, all of this intrigue is laid out here. All of this anger is manifest. All of this back and forth, all of this politics, as we could say. And it's amazing how Prabhupada, after presenting all of this, presents a very detached position himself. Such is the situation of palace life and the intricacies of diplomacy. He sums the whole thing up in that one sentence. This is the way it goes in politics. This is the way it goes in the palace. This is the way the royal family, you know, like that. In other words, Prabhupada's saying, don't be surprised by any of this. What was that famous quote attributed to Prabhupada? Don't be surprised who leaves, be surprised who stays. So don't be surprised by what's going on. Sometimes, you know, devotees in discussion and say, oh, you know, this thing's happening in our Iskcon society, that thing's happening, and oh, so on. You know, we don't really have to look any further than the Chaitanya Charitamrita to find all of these different discrepancies there. The personal servant of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ran off with the gypsy girls. He had to go and get him himself. You know, that's just one example. So whatever we find going on, we can find somewhere where something similar to that has already happened. So Prabhupada says, don't be surprised by anything. This is the situation of palace life. This is the intricacies of diploma. What we can be surprised by, though, is the loss of intelligence that allowed Duryodhana to act in this way. And why was that? Bad association. Shakuni. Karna. Constantly prodding him along. Yeah, do it. Go for it. So this type of association has brought about this action, which we should be very clear about, is nothing less than an offense on the highest order to a great devotee, Adora. So what's the lesson we can take away from here? Well, daily we recite the following verse, Satam Nindan Namana Parama Aparada Vitanute Yata Kyatim Yata Katam Ushahate Tad Vigraham. To blaspheme the devotees who have dedicated their lives chanting the holy name of the Lord, the holy name who is identical with Krishna, will never tolerate such blasphemous activities. This is exactly what Duryodhana is embracing. Ninda. Now this word ninda is quite interesting. It can be translated in several different applications. Ninda can mean condemnation. It can mean blame. It can mean reproach. It can mean abuse. It can mean revile. And it can mean to defame. All of these adjectives are negative, and they don't bring any good result. So this is the activity that Duryodhana is taking up here. This ninda, this condemnation, this abuse, this defaming of Vidura. Now, in our Kali Yuga times, we feel it is our supreme right and our God-given duty of each one of us to do all of the above to anybody else we come in contact with, to correct, to condemn, to abuse, all of it's our God-given right to point out all these mistakes. And with the creation of the internet, of course, such actions can be done with little impunity. I as I was putting these notes together, I thought, what exactly does the word impunity mean? It means without being held responsible. So this is the nature of our Kali Yuga, but we should be very cautious about such actions. And we have two examples of this, giving us this guideline, one from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself, and one from Advaita Acharya. At the time of Haridasa and Nityananda's preaching activities, and at the time of their coming in contact with Jagai and Madai, of course we all know the story quite well, but the conclusion of this story is that Jagai and Madai become saved. Now, Madai feels himself particularly at fault here, and particularly responsible. And Mahaprabhu gives him the greatest mercy. He embraces him. This is told in the Chaitanya Bhagavat. He gives him a hug. And as he hugs him, all of the sinful reactions from the body of Madai manifest above him in a dark cloud, which then enters into the body of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Now, there's a deeper explanation of this, but that's not relevant to what we're doing right now. After this exchange, Mahaprabhu then makes a declaration. Anyone who offends or finds fault with devotees, this dark cloud of the sinful reactions of Madai will enter into their heart. This should scare the daylights out of us. I mean, the scribes, Chitragupta, the scribe of Yamaraj, says, if myself and 1,000 of my assistant scribes sat for 1,000 years, we could not write down all the sinful activities of Jagaya Marai. So that's a pretty heavy burden. So there's one example there, why we should not engage in this Duryodhana-like activity. Now, secondly, from the Bhakti Ratnakar, we have a pastime of Advaita Acharya. Advaita Acharya had gone to Mathura for parikrama, and he stayed there for some time because it was such a beautiful place. Now, at that time in Mathura, there was one, and the word used is worthless brahmana. May we never fall into that description. Oh, that worthless Brahmin. Yeah. At any rate, this worthless Brahmin had the habit of speaking ill about Vaishnavas. It's the worst habit, described Bhakti Ratnakar says this. He was a very proud scholar. He was quite wicked in his heart. And so the inhabitants of Mathura, they both feared and avoided him. One day, he was in the company of Advaita Acharya, and he began to speak ill about Vaishnavas. Advaita Acharya's, as it says here, his lips began to flap. They trembled with anger, and his eyes grew molten red. And he shouted in a very loud, lion-like voice at the Brahmana, "Oh, you most wicked man, today you will not escape from me. I shall sever your head from your body with my own divine chakra." And saying so, Advaita Acharya, non-different than Mahavishnu, assumed the four-armed form with the chakra present and ready. When this Brahmana saw this, he was more fortunate than Duryodhana in that his intelligence made him realize what he had done. He began to tremble in great fear, and he folded his hands and tried to pacify Advaita Acharya, knowing that his impending death was there. And he prayed to Advaita Acharya, said, "Oh my Lord, punish me as you like. Unfortunately, I have lost my good intelligence and did not understand the Vaishnava tattva. I have committed unlimited sins. Please be kind to me and save me from reaction of these sins." Completely different state of mind than Duryodhana has. So saying this, the Brahmin fell at Advaita Acharya's feet and began to cry piteously. Not just cry, but cry piteously. Two different types of crying there. Advaita Acharya calmed himself, withdrew his four-armed form, and seeing the wretched condition of this Brahmana at his feet, Advaita Acharya felt pity for him. And he decided, "Instead, I shall bless him." So he spoke in very sweet words to him. He said, "The sins you have committed will send you to hell forever. But I will tell you what you must do to halt this. Admit your guilty mentality. Give up all pleasures of sense enjoyment. Engage yourself in Nam Sankirtan. Serve the Vaishnavas with your heart and soul, and be very cautious in your dealings with them. Engage yourself in worship according to the standards of pure devotion, and do not reveal to anyone what you have seen here today." This is always a question, sidebar. This is always a question. Many, many times these activities of amazing things go on, and the personality says, don't tell anyone this. Yeah, we've got it right here in Shastra. So somebody told somebody, much to our benefit. At any rate, so after advising the Brahmin in this way, Advaita Acharya left Mathura and continued on his pilgrimage. And the Brahmana did just as he was told. He embraced these points. He absorbed himself in Nam Sankirtan. He very humbly went to the home of every Vaishnava he had offended and begged for their forgiveness. And of course, they all forgave him and wished him well. And the Vaishnavas wondered what could have brought about the change in such a wicked person. Some of them knew, oh, he has associated with Advaita Acharya, and he has become purified by that association. Advaita Acharya, he must be the Lord in human form, for he has had the potency to change his Brahmana's heart. So we all have this opportunity. We have the Lord in the form of the holy name. We have the Lord in the form of the Srimad Bhagavatam. We have the Lord in the form of the Vaishnavas. And this, if we embrace it, if we take that opportunity, can change our heart. So with that, let us avoid these activities performed by Duryodhana that are very plainly herein seen as a great offense. And as Vrindavan Das Thakur instructs us, let us avoid offending a Vaishnava, since it is the worst thing that one can do in their spiritual life. So, thank you very much. We'll conclude there. If anybody has any comments, questions, corrections, chastisements, take them all. If not, okay, then we'll conclude Srimad Bhagavatam class today. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaudiya Premananda.